You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On Phoenix Suns is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Ringing in March 1st here on today's episode of Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network and I am your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow our show on Twitter and on Instagram at LockedOnPHXSuns, and you can follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Because it is a Monday, we are joined by Brandon. You know him as Zona on Twitter. He is at AZ Sports Zone. And as I said, previewing March, which means a little college basketball, a little NBA draft look ahead, and obviously breaking down the Suns' two road wins in the Midwest this week as well. Brandon, I have a question for you off the top, though, because you hinted at something that I can't let you get away with on Twitter without talking about it on the show, which is that you told Sam Cooper you have a take. You said, quote, a take no one is ready for. I need you to share it with us.
All right, why not? I'll just throw it out there. It's a positive one. Like, I had some people, like, saying that just jumping to conclusions thinking it was, like, me being negative. I can confirm I've been on the train of this team being good enough to win an NBA title since the offseason. So I know that's probably a hot take on the national scale. A lot of Suns fans will probably agree with me. So I'm, you know, this is the right audience for that. But I do think they're on the low end tier of teams that could actually win one, but they're definitely in the conversation, which is what, you know, Sam was asking. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of luck to go your way to win one. But, you know, I think this team has all the pieces and they're more than capable if they put it all together, because they have not even played their best basketball yet. That's the scary part about this team.
Certainly agree. I don't think we've seen the best. And I think In some ways, like, games like the ones we saw this weekend can be just as interesting from that standpoint as the head-to-head matchups. Like, yes, beating Milwaukee, beating Philadelphia, that proves a certain level of high-level competitiveness. But I think taking care of business against bad teams, it was honestly one of the missing ingredients from this group last year. They just always seemed to squabble games that they shouldn't have, play down to their level of competition, whatever you want to say, late game miscues. And yeah, we've had some fair share of those, but to beat Chicago, Minnesota, two teams they're clearly better than, who we would never say are title contenders by any means, by in fairly resounding fashion, I think is good to see. But we are coming at you after this 43-point game. I would imagine that optimism, Brandon, was in large part centered around believing that Devin Booker had more nights like this in him, even if we haven't seen him often. This one was very nice to watch him put together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just to be clear, like, that take has been something I've been like, I've kind of kept it to myself a little bit for the most part, but just the structure of this team, just having two closers like Booker and Ball. I mean, you have a chance in any playoff series. So, and tonight is just a prime example of that, just his ability to score. Like, there's nothing you could do defensively. They're throwing two guys at him and he's just throwing up these crazy shots off the run. And, you know, it's his game is just tailor made for the NBA playoffs.
They're definitely surging at a time when a lot of the other West contenders are not. So that doing that now, I like the timing, because we just saw the Clippers blow a late game situation. The Lakers are, you know, going through it with Anthony Davis's injuries, and the Jazz keep doing their thing. I think we all have to kind of see it with the Jazz. I like the take, though. I don't think it's crazy. I think that they're sort of in that, it's really boring to me when people say it, but sometimes it is just the truth of, you know, if an injury or some sort of bad luck befalls a team ahead of them, they'd be right there. That's kind of where I am, and I think obviously their seeding indicates that. They, as we'll talk about later, somehow, which after years of talking about the draft so much on this very podcast feels crazy for me to say, but they are 28th in the standings right now. Third best record in the NBA, really tied for second best with those Lakers. So crazy times, certainly a time for optimism. But as you said, Booker just looking a points high of for the season, 43, and 5-5 to go along with that, keeping the turnovers down. I guess the key for Booker seems to be just don't make threes, and you're going to have the best scoring nights of the year for you. Yeah. It seems to be his recipe. Like
it's funny because that's just when he's at his best is when he's attacking like that. So I mean, everyone in like the national perception of him is still is like he's just this crazy shooter from like so many like talking heads that I'm just like these guys just don't watch him play because he's just a better finisher and like mid range savant, just like Chris Paul, and just the way he carves up the defense is just really fun to watch. I mean, it's. There's not too many scorers in the league that can score the way he does. And, you know, and 1-for-6 from three and winds up with a super efficient 43 points. So it's kind of unreal.
Yeah, it's the best part to me of his night tonight. Just seeing him get to the free throw line at that pace, 13. Obviously, we know if he gets there 13 times, making 12 is hardly a surprise. But that's going to need to be a part of his game in the playoffs and in big games. We know that you've said it on the show as well, just to round out the versatility that this team has. He's effectively the only player who we trust to get to the line. And so he needs to do it. And that's an easy way to get points. It's an easy way to slow the game down. It's an easy way to make the best use of what he's good at, which is just putting the ball in the basket. So a good sign for him, even more than leading a big win, was just getting some of those things right. His shot making, keeping the turnovers in check, and all the rest. I think it's one of his best individual nights of the year. Of course, you're going to say that when he has the season high scoring, but just kind of the way he did it, I think, was really exciting. I wanted to touch pretty quickly too here on, we did see the flip flop of the starting lineup again, where for some reason it's now been the Nets, which makes a ton of sense, and the Bulls, which makes not very much sense, that we've seen Monty put Crowder in there. Like, I guess they were afraid of Patrick Williams. I'm not really sure what we saw there. And to do it in a win, I thought maybe we'd see Crowder stick in there. But he's back to the bench against Minnesota after a 9-point win over Chicago and then 0-4 from the field. So I think that's still a work in progress. But something about that Kaminsky thing, the size he brings, rebounding, IQ, whatever it is, Monty seems to really like. I keep thinking we're going to see Crowder stick in there, and he just hasn't.
Yeah, and it's part of what I think it is, too, is like that Bulls game, Saric was out, so I think Monty wanted Frank as the backup center, so that I think that was more of like him reading into that than anything else, and that's why he went back to Frank. But I think it's just something we're going to have to get used to, just, you know, being ready for him to make these last-minute decisions, and, you know, they're both going to have to stay ready, and, you know, Frank's done a great job, and Jay, you know, he struggled tonight, but he's been super professional about whatever role he's been given. But yeah, 27 minutes tonight, 0 points, 3 turnovers. Not his best night, but you know what? They won, so it's fine. Just take it, take those like off shooting nights and win any day.
Yeah, 7 of 27 from deep as a team, with Booker, as we said, leading the way negatively there with a 1 of 6 showing on his part. The other thing I think was good from these wins, aside from just beating up on teams, like I guess I keep saying beating up, but like that Chicago game was no sure thing heading into the fourth quarter. They just, similar to the New Orleans game last weekend, really just kind of beat them while they were down at a certain point, doubled up the Bulls in the fourth quarter, 32-16, and pulled away. But in this Minnesota game, same thing. We saw defensively Ayton, just overall their ability to contain playmaking, sort of wing guard types. Yes, it's the Timberwolves and the Bulls, which is a lot easier than the Hornets or the Nets, who we saw them struggle against, but still, I mean, Zach LaVine, Anthony Edwards, those are guys who can light you up if you don't play well defensively, and so there were a lot of possessions, DeAndre Ayton especially, doing better on some of those switches, just stuff that I think will be good for them to feel positively about shoring up after some ugly ones earlier this month.
Yeah, definitely, and this is one of those games, I mean, obviously, you know, they're in Minnesota, it's cold, and they're thinking about that LA game on TNT in the back of their minds. So it's one of those games where, you know, if you don't go on that run to close the game out, if you let them hang around, then, you know, bad things can happen. So it's good that they kind of woke up there after the first few minutes of the third. And, you know, Chris Paul and Saric played excellent together with Booker on the bench.
Love that pick and roll.
When they're staggering. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much, you know, just having two engines like that on the offense at the same time just opens up so many avenues, and you know, they just, you know, pulled away for good. And, you know, it's nice to have a game where Booker's scoring a 40-plus in a blowout and being on the winning side of it for once.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on the bench. It was nice to see Šarić have a little bit of a night for himself. It had been a while. He had, I think he had 19 or something in a blowout a week or two ago, but this was the first time that he really was a big, his offense was a big part of winning a game, and that probably will be good for him. And curiously, on the other side of things, I had been saying the same sort of thing about Cameron Payne, who we saw get usurped in the rotation a little bit with Etuan Moore playing 19 minutes. So Monty seems to still be tinkering similar to that starting lineup with who he wants out there bench-wise, besides Šarić, Cam Johnson, and Jay Crowder. We'll have to kind of keep an eye on things and see who plays well and really earns that spot. But two good wins, a combined 28 points margin of victory. So taking care of business against pretty bad teams. You know, Chicago, 500 or so, but in the Eastern Conference, not sure how much that says the Suns should have beat both of those teams, and they did. So that's obviously good stuff. We won't spend too much time on the games considering the result is what we expected. As I said, though, we have a little bit of a March Madness preview for you. Draft guys to keep an eye on. Just if you checked out maybe on college basketball this year, haven't watched in a while, and you're interested from a Suns perspective, we're going to give you some guys, some teams that you should keep an eye on. We will do that right after a quick break. But first, wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, or just be better? And, well, obviously, I'm here to tell you there is. If you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps that's actually advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So this stuff works, whatever the situation. Headspace really can help you feel better, whether you're overwhelmed and you need an SOS meditation, you need some help falling asleep, and you want maybe a wind-down session, or just something to do with your kids in the morning to maybe get them out of your hair if you've had too much at-home time with them over the past year. All of us would surely understand. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've poked around here. I've done the SOS meditation because I would not tell you guys about it if I hadn't at least tried it. It calmed me down. It really did. I mean, sometimes with the app, it's perfect because you don't need to take a, you know, whole hour to yourself every day, try to find that time, which not a lot of us have. You can just do it really quick, excuse yourself to a different room, go do whatever. It's very, very fast, convenient, and it works. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. To try it, go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA to take advantage today. Today's show also brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but who cares? We're here to talk to you about March Madness, and that's exactly what you should be checking out on BetOnline. Who's going to win the tournament? Who's going to make the tournament? Which guy might be the national or the most outstanding player of the tournament? All that stuff. That's what March is for. Not only watching, not only geeking out about the draft, but of course, betting. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. You got your multiple screens. I know that's how you guys are going to watch the tournament. Pull up a BetOnline screen, whether that's on their app, on your phone, on the computer, whatever it is, take advantage. They have you covered for all the new scores and odds, and the best part is that it's free to sign up. So again, head to the website or use that mobile app. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code Locked On. Again, that's Locked On, all one word, the name of our network, on your first deposit at betonline.ag, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, back here with that March Madness preview. Just a quick reminder first to check out Locked On Today with Peter Bukowski, getting you ready every single morning with the latest scores, stories, and analysis in the sports world in less than 20 minutes. Check that show out wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, Brandon. So I'm going to give you the floor. Who has been the most surprising to you among this draft class from a college basketball perspective this year? Maybe a guy you didn't know a lot about and he's raised his profile in your mind, or somebody who has just played a lot better than you expected. Who should people be keeping an eye on that maybe they haven't heard of?
All right, so I'll start with the kind of the obvious one that I think if the Suns lost the rest of their games and won the lottery, I think James Jones would be the only GM that would take Corey Kispert first. This guy is just a lights out shooter. Just like, he reminds me a little of Cam Johnson in a way, just, but he's doing it at a higher volume on the number one team in the country. Just a ridiculous shooter, best shooter in the class, 6'7". And you know, he pretty much has it all. He's underrated athletically too. And just kind of all those things you read about Cam, as far as like his weaknesses, he has like the same type of build, I would say. So he's the number one James Jones guy that stands out to me the most. Another guy, Jared Butler from Baylor, point guard, you know, best handle in the class, super shifty, you know, gets down low, can create his own shot. I think he'd be an awesome backup for Chris Paul for a year. And then, you know, he's ready to go like right away and could probably take the reins as far as like, you know, taking a six-man role or eventual starter. So he's someone to watch. And Baylor actually has a couple interesting guards. There's also Davion Mitchell. He's a little bit small for like an off guard, but you know, 6'2", super tough defender, pretty athletic, and he's shooting 48% from three, which is absurd. So on a high volume too. So I mean, those two guards, like if you're looking for a team in March to watch, I would say keep an eye out on Baylor's guards. Corey Kispert, obviously, for Gonzaga. So those are the top two teams in the country right there. So those are kind of the obvious guys that I'll get out of the way from the start.
Davion Mitchell, very, very unrelated to anything that anybody should care about. But that guy, I had to look it up multiple times to confirm he's not related to Donovan Mitchell because they wear the same number and they have the same body type. It's the weirdest thing ever. But yeah, their undersized backcourt, like, fights like hell, shoots the ball. If we haven't really seen James Jones draft a guard necessarily. I guess Ty Jerome counts, you know, kind of a sudden one with the trade that happened that year. But I feel like those guys both, just their toughness, their ability to shoot, their ability to play defense, that seems like the kind of mold he would like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think Jared Butler's probably, like, if he's going for a pure, like, backup point guard, like, long-term, I think he's the one that checks a lot of, like, the James Jones boxes.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Another one is Bones Highland. Like, first of all, his name is Bones. And second, this guy is probably, outside of Kispert, he's the best shooter in the class, I think. Just the shot versatility. He plays for VCU, so they're a team that they'll probably sneak in as like a, you know, 10 seed or something in the tournament. So he's a name to watch. He could have a breakout tournament and rise up boards, kind of on that second round, late first brink right now, I'd say. But, you know, he can do it all as far as shooting goes, like sidesteps, step backs, pulls up from like 40 feet. I mean, he's ridiculous. So he's someone that I could see. He could play a little bit on and off ball too. So if they're still trying to find someone to pair next to Booker long term that can defend a little bit, he has a good steal rate, he's long, he could be another good option as well.
I'm curious this year, I don't know if we didn't talk about this beforehand. I'm not sure if you have an opinion on it, but there was a lot last year made of, like, I know Jonathan Givony has almost kind of over reiterated it in terms of how much teams were shell shocked by the tournaments not happening when they had to prepare for the draft because of how maybe much they rely on that to the extent we don't even realize. You know, maybe some of the less prepared teams, especially. I don't exactly know where the Suns fall on that, but do you feel like we might be in for a similar thing this year because teams have had a harder time traveling? They haven't maybe had the, again, typical scouting experience that they might normally, going to practices, talking to people in person, scouting players in person. It kind of feels to me like we might be in for whatever happens in this tournament being even more magnified in the minds of executives because it'll be just so much more pronounced than this empty gym game they played, you know, in the dead of a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, especially just looking at how all the eyes are going to be on this tournament. It's like you said, just there's not been a ton at stake, it feels like, without the fans, and it's just a different environment. And you know, last year, obviously there's kind of a big jumbled mess as far as like people's draft boards because of that, like tournament not happening. And this year there's kind of like after the top, I would say like lottery guys or so, there's kind of another gap where it's wide open. So if someone in that late first or like even late second range just has a breakout tournament, they could play themselves up pretty high, I think, just because there's just so much parity, I would say, like outside of the lottery. So I had trouble last year, like separating tiers in my big board. And this year is even more difficult, I would say. So,
well, to your point with the stakes of everything too, it's not only, I think, like the atmosphere is just so different, especially in a sport like college basketball. And even we saw it a little with college football, though there were fans at a lot of those games. That's a lot what this stuff is about. And so not having that, I think, for the players, for everybody involved, just challenges you. I think there obviously will be fans at the tournament, but aside from that, I think there will also just be like a level of competitive energy that a lot of this stuff hasn't had. Like aside from, you know, we saw in the bubble players just getting hot abnormally. So some of that might crash down for certain guys or change in terms of how they shoot and perform when the stakes are a little higher, but also, you know, just having something to play for, I think will bring some out of this too. So with that all said, like, I'm wondering, we can call them a sleeper, we can call them whatever, somebody maybe who is at the tail end of the second round for you or in the minds of draft analysts, and you could maybe see breaking in all the way from that range to the end of the first round where the Suns will be drafting, you know, who maybe fits the bill of somebody James Jones might be interested in.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Isaiah Livers out of Michigan. He's just like a knockdown shooter, has like good size, quick release, seems exactly like a James Jones type, you know. And Michigan's a really good team. I think I would even put them in front of like Baylor at this point, or at least on that same level. So I could see Michigan making a Final Four run, and, you know, Livers will probably be a huge part of that. So, you know, just at 6'7", you know, he's a little bit older too. So pretty much everything Jones likes in a player.
Yeah, 6'7", senior, shoots 46% from three this year. Sounds right.
Yep. And so, yeah, that's one name I'd keep an eye on. And yeah, there's just so many, especially this year with like, I don't know, there's just so many different players that are James Jones types, I would say. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he approaches it with where they're picking. We were talking a little bit, you know, pre-recording this, just about how this is going to be their best, probably their best position they've had to draft for James Jones, and like how he values players, just because he's going to have all the guys he loves just fall right to his lap. So it's a perfect position for them to be in.
Yeah, probably a conversation for a different day. What I have also been thinking about, which is just with the complications we've seen for the extra year of eligibility, with what we know about how James Jones is going to look at things and valuing experience, I think that might start to get a little complicated too in terms of who we're looking at and who the Suns are scouting and thinking about drafting and all that, because you know, there will be guys who decide to go back maybe unexpectedly, and that whole process will just be a little different. The NBA kind of seemingly making things hard on the players a little, and you know, just kids who want to go back to school or versus not. I think that's all going to be interesting, especially once things start to solidify post tournament. But we'll have to see who even plays well enough to get to that point. But on that note, we want to talk about some guards as well, because I think I've been getting a lot of questions about this in mailbags. I know fans are talking about it. We have a all-star point guard here in Phoenix, but he's in his mid-30s, and we want to kind of think about who might be next. So we'll do that after another quick break. First, the best-tasting protein bar ever, Built Bar, is back. They sent me the coconut brownie chunk. I always have to make sure I get the name right, that I've been telling you guys about, to try another box. They are delicious. They taste hardly anything like a protein bar. Really just tastes like candy that's healthy. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, they're not sickly sweet because you wouldn't want that in something you're eating after a workout or before a workout, but just about everything else is perfect for me, and I know you guys love them too. Covered in chocolate, 100%. Soft and easy to chew, perfect for any diet, even something like keto. They are low calorie, low sugar, and high protein. For instance, the cookies and cream, only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. So perfect little pick-me-up snack. Like I said, pre or post-workout, whatever your use is. I went on a hike. I brought one with me, ate it at the top. It got me through, and then I had dinner on my way home. Perfect. So to check it out, try your own Built Bar. Try that coconut brownie chunk. Maybe try the cookies and cream, whatever you'd like. You're going to go to BuiltBar.com. You're going to use the promo code LOCKEDON20. Again, LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Back here, talking about some guards, some playmaker options. We got to a couple in that first segment. We'll get to a couple more, maybe guys that the Suns, I don't know, maybe might want to trade up for, some of the more high-profile names to keep an eye on here as we make our way through the conference tournaments and obviously the NCAA tournament not too far after that. On that note, check out Locked On NBA Draft, one of our newest shows on the network here. 4 days a week of scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, so people can check out Locked On NBA Draft, but they can also stay right here because, Brandon, you have been keeping an eye on this. You obviously have been our go-to draft guy for a while, even before you were joining me every week. So who should people be watching among these guards? You got David Johnson from Louisville, some other names in the mix here who have kind of seemingly gone up and down. Not a lot of guys who have stayed in this range, but who's in the mix here at the point guard spot in the, you know, back half of the first round?
Yeah, so obviously we already covered Jared Butler and Bones Highland. I think those are two pretty big names to, I just want to reiterate that. And then to throw in the mix, David Johnson is also another, he's a big like 6'5 point guard that, you know, he's great size. He's a great athlete. Awesome in transition. You know, there's some question marks about his shot and some other areas of his game that he needs to tighten up, but he's someone I could see Jones like loving as like a, someone like that could be a long-term backup and eventual starter with Book. And then one name, I think he probably won't be there, but I'm just going to throw it out there, is Sharif Cooper, like one of the most fun players to watch in college basketball. He's probably going to be gone before they pick, which is something I'm not used to saying about the Suns. Still getting used to that. So, but he's just a dynamic 6 foot guard. I think he's probably more like 5'11", but gets to the paint wherever he wants, like genius passer. So he's someone that, you know, if he falls, you know, I could see that happening. Like he'd be, you know, Chris Paul mentoring him would be awesome. Trey Mann out of Florida, good size, can shoot, has some pull up shooting flashes, and he's someone that I could also see like as, you know, James Jones loving again. Just there's so many guards that just they can shoot, they're big, and like they're multi-year players. So he's going to have a field day, I think. And Jaden Springer out of Tennessee, he's more of a combo guard, but he has some playmaking flashes that are very real. So I think he'll probably be out of their range too. Like ESPN has him 39th on their board, which I think is insane. Like a lot of smart people that I follow that cover the draft have him like, you know, in the lottery, like even like mid lottery, like 7-8 range. So I think he'll be somewhere in between that, just out of the Suns range. And then Miles Deuce McBride out of West Virginia, you know, Javon Carter loves this guy. You see him, probably see him tweet about him a few times, but you know, he's just a ferocious, like pit bull defender. He can shoot off the bounce.
Why does every draft person I pay attention to love him, and yet he's 63rd on ESPN's board? That makes no sense to me.
It's like, I mean, he's not Desmond Bain, but I'm just using that as an example. It's just like, when are these guys going to learn? You know, there's certain players like him and Bones Highland are kind of two that stick out to me that are just super low. Same as Springer, honestly. So a lot of their stuff is intel based, and sometimes it takes months for that to update. So we'll see what the next ranking looks like. But
yeah,
he's someone I could see. Like, that's actually a good name to backtrack on your question earlier. just saying who can like have a breakout tournament and rise up boards is like Miles McBride is like probably one of the top candidates for that for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that West Virginia team is pretty fun, and I feel like he has some of the qualities we could see the Suns desiring. What about David Duke, the Providence junior? He's shooting 41% from three. Have you had a chance to watch him much, and what do you make of him? Because he seems like another one of these guys, has some good size. We know the character stuff has been talked about a lot with that name and the story behind it and how he approaches it and you know, a small school. Like I think the character of those guys tends to be believed in a lot as well, for whatever reason, just kind of the toughness to get to that point with a smaller school. What should we make of David Duke, and do you think he's a fit here?
Yeah, I like him. I have him as like a kind of an early second round guy right now. Could definitely, you know, I would even consider taking, he's just in that lump of players where it's like after the lottery, there's just like a group of guys and he's in that. So, definitely just a hard nosed guard that can kind of do it all a little bit. Good slasher, can shoot, 40%+ from three his last two seasons after, I think he was like somewhere in the 20s his freshman year. So he's made some, you know, steady improvement in that area. Just a really good scorer. And he's someone I could see, you know, his good size as well. And there's just a lot of guards like that that I think, you know, it's going to depend where they land and like the development system. But there's a lot of interesting guards that are like fringe first, like early second, that I think should definitely be on the Suns' radar. And we've pretty much touched on all of them. And Duke is a good one to throw in there as well.
Yeah, it seems unlikely. He'll be more of a conference tournament guy. It doesn't seem like Providence will necessarily make the NCAA tournament. They're sixth in the Big East, have an 8-9 record. So unlikely, unless they win the conference tournament, that they'll be there. So get some eyes on him, I would say, before then or during that conference tournament. But to your point, it's interesting looking over some of these guys and just watching them, admittedly less than I wish I had, but the little bit that I have watched, a lot of these point guards, and you've said kind of the same description for several of them. I know there are differences, but it seems like we're seeing maybe an era of, I don't know, like it feels like a lot of these guys just might not have cared to learn to shoot in the past, or they wouldn't have been coached that way to become elite shooters, to try off the bounce threes. Just these bigger players who are given that green light and actually are good at it is really interesting to me. It feels like it's a trickle down from what we're seeing in the NBA, but I can't remember it showing up in a draft class quite the way that it has this year until now.
Yeah, and it's not even just with the guards. There's a lot of like interesting. I actually wrote something like ranking the top seven shooters, and the only guard on that list was Bones Island. There's like the honorable mention section had the Baylor guards and a few others, but for the most part, a lot of this class, like the strength is just like the size and shooting, and like the fact that it couldn't even fit a lot of like 40%+ 3-point shooters in like on that list just kind of tells you all you need to know about this class. So it's one of the weirdest, like as far as like shooting goes, classes I think I've seen. And I'm sure you know, it'll be really interesting to see how Jones approaches this. Like there's obviously like the gap with, you know, their backup point guard and like long-term point guard, I would say. And, you know, obviously they probably want to get as much as they can out of Paul, but you have to look at the big picture. So it'll be interesting to see if they want another like win now player, or if they're going to think a little bit, you know, more patiently this year and, you know, kind of get someone that could fit with them long-term because they feel like they have the pieces now to, you know, be a little more patient, like kind of like they are with Jalen Smith this year.
We'll definitely be checking in on March Madness every Monday, if not more often, as we get a more kind of concrete image of what these guys are going to be in the NBA and some of the high pressure moments that inevitably come with the tournaments. But it'll be interesting, I agree with you, to see, like, you know, maybe it'll be a good segment to do later on of who the most like Chris Paul student player is of this group. Like who could we see really benefiting or getting along with, or who plays the same, thinks the game the same way? It's a high bar, obviously, for a college kid, so it'll be interesting. But I think that's a good maybe way to look at things as well, because who knows, I mean, maybe some of that played a part in how the Suns approach not taking some of the guards that they had a chance to this year. I don't know. I mean, something had to be in their minds to have them say no to Tyrese Haliburton or Kyra Lewis or any of those players. And, you know, are those same things going to happen this year, or are there players maybe who are more in line with what they want? And I guess that's the big question. I have one more for you before we end here. Do you see either of the ASU guys being first round picks?
Yes, I think both of them will be, actually. Okay. Bagley's like pretty close. I think he'll be borderline, where like it's in his favor that like his archetype is a player that a lot of contenders like. So I could see like a late first round team that's good, that just, you know, takes a bet on him somewhere in like the late 20s. I think Christopher will be like a top 25 guy, though. You know, just the scoring package and the athleticism. You know, he could be someone that goes a lot higher than you think, too, just based off I would say the aesthetics of his game. Even though he doesn't have the most inspiring season, or he doesn't really lived up to the expectations, I would say. You could see the raw talents there for sure. And he's someone that I think NBA GMs are going to love and just try to groom into one of their own.
Pretty fairly young, too, just turned 19 a couple months ago. Yeah. So I guess that's reason for optimism about how he could continue to develop. Doesn't seem like a Suns guy, but I know people will be interested just with the two hometown. Well, especially Bagley from a hometown perspective, but we'll have to see. Yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm mostly just interested in the way the ASU program continues to get built up. If those guys both go in the first round and this Lou Dort thing continues, maybe the recruitment gets a little better around here, but we'll have to see. Definitely a lot to keep an eye on. That's like a dozen at least guys for you all to watch as you sit down for some college basketball. Perfectly actually set up this year, where the All-Star break is right when this stuff's heating up. That'll be nice for people to watch some college basketball.
Yeah. Let me throw one more name out there just for fun.
Go for it.
Sandro Mamukelishvili. Number one, I just wanted to try to pronounce that name out loud.
That's pretty good. I don't know if you're right or wrong, so. But it's, you didn't like stutter. It sounded pretty good.
I'm like 99% sure I did it right, so I'm pleased with that. But yeah, he's like a big that he actually plays pretty similar to Dario Saric in a way. Puts the ball on the deck and a little more athletic than Dario. Really good passer. Someone that I could totally see the Suns like liking. But the thing is that they just took Jalen Smith, so I don't think they're going to take another big. But he's someone that I think is a plug and play, like older, and someone that I think just fits the 0.5 system like to a T. So just had to throw that name in there.
That's the Seton Hall big man. Another, yeah, there's an out of left field one to leave you guys with. We will be back with you next week on Monday, hopefully with more of this stuff to talk about, some thoughts on the first half from the Suns. We might actually be in for another player grade now that I'm thinking about it. So that might be what's in store next week. But in the meantime, I will be back with you on Tuesday with probably a guest to help me break down this Sun season and where things are. See if anyone can agree with Brandon that this team's a contender. We'll have to poll, get a straw poll of rest of this media group. But until then, guys, enjoy your Monday. And we've just a couple games left of this first half.